You're listening to the opening music of the Chinese soap opera Foreign Babes in Beijing. When it premiered in the late 90s, it quickly became China's most popular TV show. So why did 600 million people watch it every day? Well, the show didn't shy away from controversy, and it had lots and lots of sex. American Rachel Dwoskin played Jessie, one of the stars of Foreign Babes in Beijing. I asked her how a nice girl from Ann Arbor learned the Chinese for drop trow.
I mean, the truth about it is very randomly. You know, I was in Beijing at 22 working for an American company, and I quite randomly landed my beautiful part in Foreign Babes in Beijing. You know, I met a guy at a party who said, "You're white. Do you want to be in my friend's soap opera?" And I said no, because I was working 20-hour days and pushing two chairs together in the office at night to sleep and wake up and work again. But the more that my corporate job snaked out hideously on the horizon, the more I thought it would be interesting at least to go see the studio with this guy. So eventually he persuaded me to visit the Beijing Television and Film Studio. And it was an incredibly interesting place. You know, there were guys with long ponytails and white bathrobes jumping off of balconies and things.
Wow.
And I decided it would be a more interesting set for the rest of my life in Beijing than my fluorescent office would be.
So who were you in Foreign Babes in Beijing? I assume you were one of the foreign babes.
Well, you know, it was standard soap opera fare. The show was about two American girls, one played by me and the other played by a German girl who was, I think, unmistakably German, but the producers thought could pass as an American.
I suppose to the Chinese, German, American, French, it's all the same?
Exactly right.
The German girl played the good girl, and the American girl, well, of course.
Of course. But that's because she was blonde, I think, not because she was German.
Ah.
We were both playing American students, but I'm brunette, and brunettes always play the bad girl.
Yeah.
It's just how it works out for us.
So that makes you, what, the American hussy who...
The vixen.
The vixen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Although, interestingly, my character is redeemed in the end of the show. You know, she gets her man, and her love is true. She sacrifices everything for true love. An interesting spin on the earlier popularity of sacrificing everything in service to the state.
So in the end, true love really conquers all?
Well, in fact, we both sacrifice everything for true love. Louisa, the good girl, marries her innocent, bambied-out Chinese boyfriend in a virgin wedding and then lives in China and acculturates. She becomes the kind of princess of a daughter-in-law that every Chinese family dreams of. She rolls dumplings and bears them a grandson in the final episode. Jessie, my character, falls in love with her already married brother, seduces him, and takes him back to the West. But the final scene is a scene of happy exodus. There are pigeons flying above, and his parents cry out loving things to me, and I call them mother and father, and then we go to America. And in a way, I think it's ideal for the Li family to have one son stay in China to take care of them in their dotage, and one son move to the West to enjoy great wealth.
Now, of course, this series was done in Chinese. You speak a fairly fluent Chinese, right?
I do. I speak fluent Mandarin.
And did you act in Mandarin?
I don't know if you can call it acting, but I tried very hard to deliver my Mandarin lines.
Yeah. When you were doing the show, you say that you spoke in Mandarin, but they wanted you to speak in an American accent. Can you give me some sense of what that's like? I mean, could you say a line in what you think of as good Mandarin and then the way you'd mush it to make it American?
One of my favorite of Jessie's lines was the line, "Can't you Chinese love anyone other than your wives?" She was very direct. And so that line was, "除了你们的妻子之外，别人无所爱吗?" And then, "除了你妻子之外，别人无所爱吗?"
That's wonderful.
It was very cute.
Yeah. When Foreign Babes in Beijing came out, how popular were you?
When Foreign Babes in Beijing came out, my popularity, I can only describe it as surreal. Because in some way, I didn't realize the show was going to be on TV. And I know that that sounds quite naive. But in fact, when we were filming it, it was in such an insular world. We filmed it at this set in Beijing in the film studio. And I just didn't know what it meant that this show was going to be televised all across China. And when it came out, people felt like they knew me. I had been in their living rooms night after night, dropping trow, if you will, and speaking my cute American Chinese. And people on the street were hysterical with delight, I would say. And they grandmothers patted my head and teenage girls followed me through the markets buying whatever I bought. And people asked me if it was real love with Tian Ming. Everybody was wildly friendly about it. But, you know, there's a sense in China sometimes that you don't have enough space anyway because it's very crowded. And so being further crowded on the street by fame was breathtaking, I would say. And there was a time, although this time has passed, when everybody in China knew about Foreign Babes in Beijing. And it was a very intense experience on the streets. And it was true not only in Beijing, but also in Shanghai and everywhere else I traveled in China in the mid and late 1990s.
Yeah. Well, that brings up the next question. How does the experience you had playing Jessie jibe with your experience being Rachel in Beijing?
You know, my life in Beijing was interesting precisely because I played Jessie. I had this dual life. You know, on the one hand, I was, in fact, a foreign woman living in Beijing, and simultaneously, I was playing the Chinese idea of my life on television. And the two contradicted each other and sometimes overlapped in ways that really surprised me. I mean, for one thing, they teased my hair and dressed me in rhinestone jewelry and fur coats. I looked like a Dallas rerun from the 1980s. And on the other hand, some of the relationships they tried to tease out in the show and some of the complexities of it reminded me very much, if not of my own life there, then of my best American friend's life there. Her name was Kate, and she's this blonde journalist who was in love with Chinese culture and in love with Chinese men. And she often said to me, Foreign Babes in Beijing is the story of my life. And so there were certainly parallels.
Was there politics involved in this at all? Did either Jessie or Louisa represent any political statement?
Well, not overtly, I would say. I mean, I think certainly Jessie and Louisa were themselves symbols of the tempting kinds of products that the West is now offering. China has always used sex as a metaphor to describe moral encounters with the outside world. There's, of course, the infamous rape of Nanjing, and there's the draining of Chinese men's virility in terms of the Opium Wars. And so I think sex as a metaphor for moral encounter or for military encounter with the West is a tried and true theme in China. And I think Jessie and Louisa are seducing China in a sense. You know, we come in and we seduce China's best men, these unbelievably gorgeous, chiseled Chinese soap opera actors. And in a way, it creates a fantasy that turns the table on Hollywood depictions of Chinese men as, you know, Charlie Chans or inscrutable Orientals or Asian houseboys. And the Western women relieve Eastern women momentarily of the chore of being exotic.
Is there any chance it will ever be shown in the West?
I doubt it, unless by my father, who loves it.
Rachel Dewoskin's book about her Chinese soap opera career is called Foreign Babes in Beijing.